2 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul says, "This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, or unless ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Now, the Apostle Paul was no different than any other a man who has been called by the Lord to declare the Word of God in this way. Now, when I say he was no different, I mean that to be qualified by the fact that he was a man just like all men. He most definitely had a ministry unlike that of any other. I believe that the Apostle Paul was, in fact, the chiefest of the apostles among men. He was given gifts, he was given insight, even to correct the other apostles from time to time, as we see in the case of Peter, as he withstood Peter and with the gospel. So Paul was a very favored man. Paul wasn't favored because of the gifts he was given, but he was favored to be given the gifts that he was. Now that's an important thing, and I think a lot of times that people get the cart ahead of the horse in viewing the gifts that a man has, and they think the Lord blesses a man because he has certain gifts. But the reality of the fact is that a man is blessed in the gifts that he is given, not the vice versa. The Lord doesn't see anything in men that is of any value at all. We're useless. Now, people don't like to think about it in that way, but the fact of the matter is that we're useless except the Lord should use us. And He can take anything and use it unto His glory, even such a one as the Apostle Paul. Now, we look at the Apostle Paul as he was by the grace of God as God made him, and well, we should. But Paul looked at himself without those rose-colored glasses. He knew what he was. He knew. He said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was a self-righteous man. I was zealous to do the law, the works of God. I was going about doing what I thought was the right thing. I was ready to put people to death for what I thought was righteous. But he said, the Lord showed me what all of that was. He showed me what I was. Showed me that I was nothing. And that without him, I could do nothing. But by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul was raised up, given gifts, and given a calling. And he went about to establish that which the Lord gave for him to do. Now, one of the things that he gave for him to do was to establish a church in Corinth. And that's what he did. Now, was that because he had great skills and abilities and people skills, and he had the ability to put on a program and gather folks up? No. He said, I didn't do anything among you but come preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the only thing that he did. That's all that he was called to do. And I believe that's all that anybody who is called to preach the gospel is called to do. The Lord gives gifts of administrations and all of those different things, but that doesn't have anything whatsoever to do with preaching the gospel. That is a gift that's given. That's a calling that's given by the grace of God. And it cannot be overturned. It can't be imitated. And it can't be, there's no substitute for it. And what can a man say about it? What can he boast of? Nothing whatsoever. Because the Lord could use anybody according to the good pleasure of His will. And He does use anybody that He sees fit to use. But He sends forth the Word of God with power in the mouths of those whom He sends with it. Now, a man can stand up and say, I'm a preacher all day long. That doesn't make him one. He can go to school. He can learn the Bible. He can quote a lot of stuff. And he can get him a job and say, I'm a preacher. That doesn't make him one. A church can hire a man. A church can appoint a man. A church can do all sorts of things and say, well, he's our preacher. It doesn't make him one. There's only one thing that causes a man to be a preacher of the gospel, and that is the power of God working in him, both the will and the do of his own good pleasure, giving him a gift which he sets forth before men, and that's just the way that it is. And he doesn't even know any, he might not know anything about anything. But the Lord uses that which He sees fit to use. Now, the Lord can raise up stones. He doesn't need any kind of particular sort of a individual. There's no particular kind of individual that the Lord needs. He doesn't need anybody because He made all things according to the good pleasure of His will. And He raised up things to be just like He wanted them to be. He said, if I wanted to, I could cause the stones to cry out in praise unto the Lord. The Scripture says that the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I've shared this with you before. I remember one time walking down the road, just walking along, and the wind was blowing, and I looked up in the trees, and the leaves were doing like that. And that Scripture just popped into my mind, the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Because you see, when the Lord sees fit to bring praise to His name, no man can overturn that. Nobody can do anything about it. It's an unstoppable force. What a glorious thing that God would see fit to do such things as that. What if He just left us alone to our own selves? What if He just gave us what if somehow or other the Bible just dropped out of heaven and it fell down on the ground? And we came along, what would you do with it? left to yourself, what would it be? You'd probably just leave it there and go on about your business because you got so many important things to do. Don't we all have many important things to do? I mean, isn't the things that we do so important? Huh? Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. Isn't what you do so important? Isn't it? Oh man, we got to do this. Well, do you? You know, well, we got to go over here. Well, what if you get in a car wreck on the way? Did you have to be over there? Evidently not. See, we think things are important that aren't in anything. Remember when Martha, a fine hostess if there ever was one, and I don't say that facetiously, I say that in admiration. She was very concerned about serving the guests that had gathered in her house. So much so that she became concerned with the fact that Mary was not helping her do the thing that she knew needed to be done and was a good thing to be done. So much so that she went to the Lord and she said, Lord, won't you, look, I'm over here laboring to perform this task and there's Mary over there sitting down just listening to what you've got to say and we got important things to do. The Lord said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen the better part. Now, that was kind of a humbling thing, wasn't it? And how often it is that the Lord shows us just how important the things that we've got to do are. Got to do it. I mean, we've got to do it now. We can't put it off. It's got to be done now. Well, Paul says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Now, I said all of that basically to point out the fact that the Lord's able to bring to pass the things that He would bring to pass and to bring things to our mind in such a way to show us what is the thing that we need to be looking at. Now, you know what the thing is that you need to be looking at. The disciples, when the Lord went to pray and He left them there, He said, watch with me. They knew what they needed to be doing, didn't they? When He came back and He found them sleeping and He woke them up, they knew that they needed to be doing something different than they were doing, didn't they? It wasn't the fact that they didn't know. It was the fact that they didn't do it. Now, we know that the reason they didn't do it was because of the weakness of the flesh. The Lord said, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, a lot of people take that to mean that the Lord was saying to them, well, it's okay. It's okay. That's a good excuse for you. But I don't believe that's what the Lord was doing at all. He was just showing them how weak and unable to do anything that they really were in the flesh. Because you see, the Spirit of God works in the saints of God, but apart from the power of God being applied to them, they just float along. Oh, what a mercy and grace it is. You see, the blessing of God is in the blessing of God. It's in the hearing of the Word of God. When a man hears the Word of God, I mean, the preaching of the Word goes out, but the blessing is in the hearing of the Word. When God gives men ears to hear it, you see, that's the blessed thing. I mean, we're glad that there's preaching of the Word, but the thing that is evidence of the blessing is when men hear the Word of God. And this is what Paul's saying. to these Corinthians. He said, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Now, he came to them first in the flesh. He came to them the second time when he wrote to them the first epistle. And now he's writing to them the second epistle. He says, this is the third time I'm coming. He says, I'm coming. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, I foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Now, Paul had written to the Corinthians about an egregious error and sin that was in their midst. And by the grace of God, they had, those that were guilty, by the operation of the Spirit of God and the action of the church toward them as Paul directed, those errors were corrected to some extent. But there were still some things going on in that church that were not as they should be. Now, that's always going to be the case. There's always going to be those things. Now, in their case, it was, sins of the flesh. There were, as he describes it here, things that are not things that are openly spoken of, but are nonetheless things that God's people know by the application of the Spirit of God, that these things are not proper. But, because of the weakness of the flesh and the indulgence of the flesh, those things continued on to some degree. And so he said, I tell you that if I come again, I'm not going to spare you. Now, what did he mean by that? He meant he was going to rake them over to the coals. Now, Paul speaks as one that has power, because he does. He speaks, first off, as one that has power because he was an apostle. Now, the apostles did have power in a measure, in a fashion, in which I don't believe any man has today. The Lord gave them these words directly from His mouth to speak the truth of God, to set it forth before us. The foundation of the church, the Scripture says, is based on the apostles. And so it is that they had a power, they had gifts that are not given to all men. I don't believe are given in the present time, the gifts that were given to the apostles. I think these things passed away when the apostles did. They weren't even passed from the apostles to the ones that were under their care. And so he says, I come and I'm coming again with power. I will not spare. But you see, the greater power that he knows that he comes with is that he does not come with great swelling words, or he does not come in his own power, or he does not come giving them his opinion. Now, there are times when we look at the Scriptures and we might give our opinion. And that's just what it is. Every man's opinion's worth the same thing. You know how much our opinions are worth? See, we like to all think our opinions are worth a lot. Well, my opinion's just as good as yours. Well, it is. It is. Every one of our opinions is as good as the next one. But you know how much they're worth? Not a thing. It doesn't make a difference what your opinion is. What difference does it make what your opinion about it is? Now, I'm not saying you don't have opinions, because you can't help but have opinions. That's just part of being a human being. But we must understand what our opinions are and how much value they have. But you see, the Word of God is not about opinion. Now, I might tell you what my opinion of what the Word of God is, but you see, when God is pleased to take His Word and apply it to the heart of a man by the power of the Spirit of God, opinion goes out the window. It doesn't make any difference what whose opinion about it is. God is pleased to smite the heart with the truth of His Word. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. He said, I won't spare. Seek ye a proof of Christ speaking in me. Now, isn't it amazing that anybody would doubt you? You know, we'd all think, well, if we'd have been there, we'd have known that Paul was speaking from the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country. You know who an expert is? That's somebody that comes in from outside that you don't know. That's the fellow from New York. He would know something. Now, somebody from Brantford or Live Oak or something like that, they wouldn't know anything. But you get somebody from Jacksonville, why? But he probably knows something, you know. No, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own people. And these people knew Paul. And so after a while, they received his word for a while, but then there came among them, and this is the way of the flesh, to say, well, you know now, really and truly, that's just Paul speaking. I mean, I've heard people say that even in the present time when they read some of the things that Paul said and they don't like what he said. And they'll say, oh, well, that was just Paul. When he said many things concerning things that ought to be done in the church and shouldn't be done in the church, and people say, oh, well, that was just Paul. Well, maybe it was. But you see, Paul, if he spoke by the power of God, it is the truth. Now, a man can't receive it unless God gives him a mind to. But oh, think of this, what a blessing it is when God gives a man a mind to receive the Word of God. As the Word of God. What a blessing it is. So he says, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Because keep in mind now, Paul said that he wouldn't take another man's line of things made ready to his hand. That is, Paul didn't go out and go to another man where another apostle had started to work and go in there and try to get things all going according to the way he thought they ought to be going. He didn't do that. He said, I'm not going to another place. He said, I'm going to establish that which God has given me to do. I'm not trying to build on another man's foundation. He said, ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you it is not weak, but mighty in you. He said, here's the proof of whether or not I speak according to the Word of God, according to the power of God, if you want a proof of whether or not I am an apostle. Because you see, there were many apostles, false apostles, that were risen in those days. There were many apostles, there were 12. Who went about, some of them were killed pretty early on, but there were many that went about preaching. He said, you want proof that I'm an apostle? Because there were many who rose up and said, well, we are apostles. And usually what they would do is say, oh, well, you can't believe what old Paul's saying over here because, look, I can show you a better way. And there's always people that are willing to listen to a guy with a better way. You ever notice that? I mean, if a guy comes along and he's got a secret or something and he can show you something that's a little better way, and old Paul, he didn't know anything about that. And so there were many that had sought to subvert the Corinthians through false doctrine. There were many that had sought to subvert the Corinthians through charisma, through their abilities or whatever. Men that would draw off disciples after them. Men that loved to have the preeminence as Diotrephes. It's not unusual for men to love to have the preeminence. you get a bunch of preachers together, usually, and one of them will try to have the preeminence. Is that of the Lord? Not at all. It's of the flesh. That's the way that it is. But you see, we need to be mindful of that, that we be not drawn off in that fashion. Because there's always somebody that knows more than the next guy. But it's not about what we know. It's about the one we know. And that's who Paul's coming in the name of. And he said, look, you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but he said it is mighty in you. Said the work of the Spirit of God in you is evidence of the fact that those things that I have spoken are true. That the Lord has applied these things to your heart. And you've seen that those things I've told you are true. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now, as Christ was weak in the flesh, so are we. But you see, he was mighty in the Spirit, even triumphing over death as he came forth from the grave. And he says, in this same way, we don't have any power at all in the flesh. I mean, he told them in another place, did he not? He said, in speech, I'm contemptible. I mean, evidently, Paul wasn't much to listen to. I mean, he put Epaphroditus to sleep. He fell out the window, remember? So he must have been not all that much of an orator. But he said, it don't make any difference. It doesn't matter whether or not a man's an orator. It matters whether or not he speaks by the power of God. And so he said, in the same fashion, for we also are weak in him. We don't have any power of ourselves, but we do by the power of God towards you. And then he says something, and here's where I wanted to, for us to think about. He said some words that are very seldom ever set forth in today's climate of preaching. You will not find very many. You'll hear a lot of preachers on the radio and TV that are preaching a message to get folks to be encouraged and be uplifted and be fired up and go off and do great things. But I'm telling you this, the only way that a man will ever do great things is if God does great things in him. He won't do great things because he got fired up. He'll do great things because God constrained him to do it and he couldn't do anything else. That's what Paul said. He said, the only reason I preach is because I can't do anything else. See, that's how you know when a man is called to preach is when he can't do anything else. I don't mean he can't do anything else physically. Paul was a tent maker. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about professionally. I'm talking about when a man's constrained to it. When he eats and breathes it. When he sleeps in it. When he dreams about it. When he can't help it. But by the grace of God, these things are laid upon him. And what did he have to do with it? Nothing in the world. I mean, he can't get rid of it. He can't add to it. He can't even find it. He's like Samson. Sometimes he's standing in the in between the pillars of the temple, and his hair is cut off, and his eyes are put out, and he's in a pitiful shape. But you see, if God is in it, then it can't be overturned. And there was old Samson with his hair cut off and his eyes put out. But yet God was still there. When he brought Samson to the place he wanted him to be, you see, he said, I'm going to use Samson. And he did he not? Even when Samson, if you looked at Samson, he was a pitiful case. You just wrote him off. You said, hey, there's nothing to it. But you see, it's not about the man. It's about the power of the one who gives the word. And so he says this. And these ought to be serious words to every one of God's children. Now, I say to every one of God's children because the world's not going to pay any heed to this. They're going to say, oh, you don't need to do that. Just have a positive approach. Think good about yourself. That's what you need to do. Well, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Hadn't you heard that over and over again? That's a blessed truth, but I get sick of hearing it. People go out and I run a touchdown because I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. I won the MMA title because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And all that kind of garbage. Got nothing to do with none of that. All that just works of the flesh. Now to say, does God ordain those things to come to pass? Absolutely. But it doesn't have a thing in the world to do with what Paul's talking about when he said, I can do all things through Christ. Strengthen me, because you see, Paul knew and understood this. First off, and a man cannot, under any circumstances, have any inkling of knowing what it is that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me until he knows this, that without Christ I can do nothing.
Amen.
And here's what he said. Examine yourself. Whether ye be in the faith. What? Paul, be careful now. You'll get people to doubting. You don't want people to doubt their salvation. You don't want people to be questioning and self-examining. What's the word they say? Introspection. Don't be introspective. Paul said, be introspective. He said, don't get your mind clouded with the power of positive thinking. He said, examine yourselves to see if ye be in the faith. Just because, now what the backstory to that is, just because you say, I am a Christian, does not make it so. Everybody's a Christian. Just about. The world's full of them, is it not? Everybody is. Mostly, around here at least. You'd be hard-pressed to gather up 100 people. I bet you couldn't go out in 2 hours and gather up 50 people that wouldn't say they were a Christian. Now, they'd probably say, Well, I'm a believer. I'm not a very good Christian, or something. You know, I don't do what I should do. I don't go to church, and all that kind of stuff. But he said, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves." See, we're looking for some proof. He said, you better be looking for some proof. Don't just take somebody's word for it. Don't just assume that because you come to church that you're in the faith. Don't just assume because you didn't have anything else to do today that was more important and you showed up. That's it. Everything's all right. When it's convenient to walk in the things of God, everybody follows Christ when it's convenient, don't they? I mean, the disciples, they was right with him when it was convenient. They were seeing the miracles. They were listening to things he said, and they were blessed and walking along. But oh, when the heat got turned up, and the Lord was taken into custody, it wasn't so convenient then, was it? He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know that there are proofs as to whether or not you be in the faith. He's fixing to say, what is the proof of whether or not you're in the faith? You're not in the faith because you made a profession of faith. Now that is the most common thing that we hear today, is you are a Christian because you made a profession of faith. I'm glad if you have made a profession of faith, but that does not make you a Christian. And when I say a Christian, I mean a true follower of Jesus Christ. One who's washed in the blood of the Lamb. That doesn't make you one. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not? Now listen to this. Know ye not? Don't you know this? He says, if you do this examination, don't you know this to be true? How that Jesus Christ is in you unless you be a reprobate, castaway. So being in the faith doesn't have anything to do with professing it. Now, those that are in the faith do profess it. But professing it doesn't put them in the faith or make them be in the faith. Or because a man makes a great profession doesn't mean that he is in the faith. But here's the proof. And this doesn't have anything to do at all with the power of men, does it? Know ye not? Your own selves, you know this, don't you? You know this. I don't have to tell you, he's saying. Don't you know this? How that Jesus Christ is in you unless you be castaways. Lest you be those that are not of the children of God. Jesus Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when a man examines himself, does he do so that he can correct the problem? Did he say, examine yourselves and then correct the problem if you don't find what you're looking for? No. Just like he didn't when he said, when you come to the Lord's table, examine yourselves. He didn't say, examine yourselves and see if you like what you find. But the examination is that which the children of God, though they may not welcome it in the flesh, they recognize the necessity of it in the spirit. Because they don't want to be found to be naked or to be clothed in a garment that's not a wedding garment when the Lord comes to gather His own. I mean, when they read that account of those at the, remember when the Master made the feast and those that were invited didn't come? And he said, well, go out here into the highways and compel men to come in. And they went out and they gathered a great multitude and they came in. And when the master of the feast came in, he looked over the crowd there and he said, what's that guy doing in here? He said, cast him out. He doesn't have on a wedding garment. Now, does that not cause the children of God Paul? Does that not cause us to say, Lord, don't let me be that one? Well, that's what he's saying here. Examine yourselves. Know ye not? You do know this. You know this is true. Know ye not how that Jesus Christ is in you unless you be reprobates? Now, brethren, just as surely as God is pleased to bless His Word in power, He is pleased to dwell in His people. And we know that. How foolish would it be to be in a frivolous condition? Now, you've all heard the term preaching to the choir. And of course what that means is that those that are hearing the thing are probably not the ones that need to hear it. Well, that's not true in this respect. The preaching of the gospel is always preaching to the choir. We're preaching to those that can hear. You see, we're preaching to those that are constrained by the gospel or by the grace of God, because the world will pay no heed to it. And those in whom Christ does not dwell will say, there's no need to examine yourself, because you made a decision and you're in and everything's okay, and don't even trouble yourself about it. No, that's not what he said here, is it? Examine yourself. And so I believe this is a true thing, that God's people are going to be examiners of themselves. They're not satisfied with the status quo. They're not pleased with what they see. What is the examination for? It's to drive a man to Christ. It's to drive the children of God to Christ. Because, you see, when we examine ourselves, we don't see much of Christ in us, do we? Do you? I mean, if you do see a lot of Him in you, then you probably need to be looking closer. In the same way that we examine ourselves, the Scripture says, and so let Him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We examine ourselves for the purpose of driving us to the place where we understand that we have nothing. Dear brethren, you see, that's where the Word of God always brings us back, to the place where He is strong as we are weak. And we are made strong as we understand how weak we are. But when we get to thinking that we have a little strength, well, we don't really need to be concerned about paying heed to the Word of God. We don't need to hear the Word of God. We hear enough preaching. We hear once or twice a month or whatever. That's plenty. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, and except you be reprobate? Does not God give His people a hunger and a thirst for the truth of God? Does He not give them a hunger and thirst for the fellowship of the saints? Does He? Doesn't He? I mean, was John wrong with what he said? By this shall you know that you're my disciples, because you have love one for the other. Know that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that you know that we're not reprobates. Why? Because they knew and understood that what Paul preached was that he preached Christ. Now, you can always see more of Christ in your brethren than you'll ever see in yourself. But you're never told to examine your brethren. You're always told to examine yourself. Isn't that an amazing thing? I see the Lord is pleased to manifest the love of Christ through the brethren. And we see it. But we look at ourselves and we see so little of it, if any at all. But that's by design. Lest we be lifted up with pride. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, even though we be reprobate. So what he said is, oh, that you might follow in the way of Christ, knowing that if you despise the way of Christ, or if you neglect the way of Christ, if you have no regard to the things of Christ, then you are reprobates. But he said, don't do the things that you know are the things that you are to do and will do if Christ is in you. Don't do those things because I've told you to do it. But he said, do them as in an honest fashion. That is, because the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, even if I am a reprobate, he said. He says, you know that I'm not a reprobate. But he said, it doesn't make a difference whether I'm a reprobate or not. Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith, and then walk in those things that you know to be walking in, even if I am a reprobate. What if I turn out to have told you everything wrong? For we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. We know this, the truth cannot be overturned. I don't care what anybody does, if they burn all the Bibles or if they... I don't care what they do. If the Muslims take over and the president's a Muslim and the Congress is Muslims and people talking about, oh, worried all about these Muslims. I don't care about the Muslims. Let the Muslims come. Christ is triumphant. The glory of God shall not be diminished. Regardless of who he lets a little puppet run around up here and say, oh, look at all the power I got. Ask Nebuchadnezzar about that. You see, the Most High ruleth in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay his hand. And the greatest enemy of the gospel today is not the Muslims. It's not the homosexuals. It's not the immorality of the country. The greatest enemy to the gospel is those who preach something other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm telling you, that is a greater enemy of God, because that's what Paul desired. That's what Paul said. If they preach any other gospel than that which has been brought to you. You see, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. All these others are just clowns. They're just pawns in the working of the world. Dear brethren, they are not the danger to the people of God. The danger is that we grow complacent. Is that we think ourselves to be the followers of Christ because we decided to be. Know ye not how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? For we're glad... When we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. You see, that's the desire of those who would proclaim the Word of God, is that the people of God be built up in the most holy faith. That they be found walking in faithfulness. That they be found true. That in the day of the Lord's appearing, that they will be those that say, even so come, Lord Jesus. You see, that's the place that we desire to see you, Paul said. Not as those that turn aside and go off into all sorts of things or are caught up in the ways of the world and get your priorities out of whack and get to thinking that all the things you want to do are so important. May the Lord help us. And show us what we are by nature. And show us that our only hope, our only help, is found in Jesus Christ. And that except we be reprobates, He is in us, working His will, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. May the Lord help us, and may we be found there.